We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And the AFC, which has been down for 3 years, is better. Deshaun Watson, Houston, better. Andrew Luck returns, better. Chargers are better as a roster. Jags are better as a roster. Steelers are better as a roster. Houston's better as a roster. Kansas City's better as a roster. I still think they win their division, but I can say this with full confidence. This is not a Super Bowl-winning roster. It's just not. I mean, who knows if Edelman can play anymore? He's off an ACL. He's an older receiver off an ACL. Look at that receiving core. Busts, has-beens, don't-knows, return guys. God, that's a mess.
Oh, that was our old friend Colin Cowherd. That was a year ago today.
Mm.
Talking about the 2018-19 New England Patriots.
That is classic to think.
I know one thing. Not a Super Bowl contending team.
What's changed?
Well, they won the Super Bowl.
Like, look at their wide receiver. He really went into the receivers. So Julian Edelman is really your only guy. Demaryius Thomas has been.
This year. Yeah.
Should have been. I mean, the guy's hurt. Who knows? He's going to have Achilles. He's on PUP right now. He may not show up until after the sixth game of the season. Dontrell Inman. Okay, he was decent in Indy. Maurice Harris. Anybody?
Busts,
anybody?
Has been.
Yeah, Washington, right?
Don't knows.
Philip Dorsett. I mean, I think I kind of know his role is a third option. He's never been a two.
It's a mess.
It's a mess right now. Let's talk about the tight end position. Ben Watson isn't playing for the first four games. Austin Seferian Jenkins said later, I don't want to play anymore. So you have Steven Anderson. I'll throw James Devlin in there. Ryan Izzo. Matt Lacoste.
Lacrosse is a sport you like to practice.
And then
Lacoste.
I call him Lacrosse because he's his love for lacrosse.
I love lacrosse.
That's okay. It. This is you don't even have a Cordarrelle Patterson. If Cordarrelle Patterson,
so
if Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, I do.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree 100%. And that's why, you know, I know we're just talking about this debate because Curran wrote the article. You know, the great debate, who deserves more credit, Brady or Belichick. I think this has been sort of a back and forth volley here. Because I would say early on in the years, I would give the credit to Belichick. Anytime I think the defense is starting to take over, I give credit to Belichick. Pulling a defense together, defensive game plans. But then what happened in 05, 06, the defenses got old and we saw the transition, right? They sold their soul. They saw they couldn't beat Peyton Manning. They couldn't keep up. So they said, screw it. Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Brady go put up 35 a game. And it's been like that ever since. So I think since then, Belichick was trying to hide a lot of missteps from Bill Belichick. And Brady was trying to hide them. You know, whether it was draft picks, whether it was defenses not figuring it out. And it was all about Brady to carry the team. So then I would say it was Tom Brady. I think now we're going to start transitioning back into the Belichick era.
See, to me, you're right. I don't think there is an answer because for me, this is, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And you're going to have some people say the chicken. And you're going to have a lot of people say, no, it's the egg. It's the egg. It just depends on your point of view or where you grew up or, you know, what side of the bed you sleep on. But I'm trying to figure out how would you really execute this debate if you really want to get an answer. So if you're going to go into who's been more responsible for their success, as much as people love Brady, the answer still needs to be Bill. It has to be Bill because Bill has his hands on the defense, the special teams, the offense, and the personality of the team. He has mm-hmm. his hands in more things. You could also say, especially in the beginning, maybe Adam Vinatieri had more to do with two Super Bowl wins than Brady did based on the fact that he closed two of them out. If you go back to the snow game, go back to the 01 Super Bowl and the 03 Super Bowl
funny.
Houston.
Yeah, I was at Comcast the other day and they did some segment at night, like ranking the top five coaches.
Of all time?
No, right now.
Okay.
In the league. And, you know, Bill's obviously number one. And maybe to your point, that, you know, maybe the answer is Bill Belichick. I don't know. Because you could say the difference between Bill Belichick and number two isn't as big as, say, Brady and number two. And Brady's not even number one right now, probably, you know, going into this year. I'm not talking about career. I'm talking about best quarterbacks right now in the league. There's a bigger difference between Brady and the next guy, or it's a closer gap than there is between Bill and others. Because, you know, I think Holly was screaming that Tomlin should be number two. Looked at his winning percentage. And, you know, Andy Reid is there. Pete Carroll is there. All these guys that are there, you sit there and say, well, Pete Carroll didn't run the ball with Marshawn Lynch. Andy Reid doesn't know how to handle a clock with 2 minutes to go in the game. Mike Tomlin's team just ran itself into the ground. He lost that locker room.
That's leadership.
He has no leadership whatsoever. He lets him do whatever the hell he wants. So, and it's not like, you know, Bill, you can sit there and say, Malcolm Butler, I guess. But the difference between Bill and the next guy is huge. Like, he's one, and there is no two.
See,
there is no three. There's no four. Start at six and just go from there.
Right, Sometimes you got to cut your eyelids off.
So I was going to say, okay, if you really want to try and, you know, figure out, you know, if using a past situation. So you use the San Francisco 49ers, use Bill Walsh, and use Joe Montana. Okay, so Joe Montana won a bunch of Super Bowls with Bill Walsh. And I'm going to say Steve Young did not win with Bill Walsh. Steve Young won with
Mariucci?
No, I forgot who. Who the heck was the? Who the hell was it? Can I remember his name? It was a long time assist. I can't.
Mon, see if you can find it.
Can you see if you can find it? Steve Young's head coach. Who the hell was it? Went to Carolina afterwards. But the point is that the system was in place. The players were there. Bill Walsh wasn't even the quarterback. Wasn't even the head coach. Joe Montana wasn't the quarterback. It was Steve Young. You still had Jerry Rice. You had. You still had a good defense. They were able to win the Super Bowl with the same system. Now, it's not a perfect situation George Seifert. So, but basically, Bill Walsh 2.0, same exact system. So, who do you give the credit to? Is it?
Well, see, I think it also comes down to, I almost feel also has to do with who Bill Belichick gives Tom Brady. I don't think gives him anybody last year or this year. Maybe this year it's even worse. Like, you want to give me Randy Moss? You want to give me Wes Welker? Fine. You want to go out and draft an Aaron Hernandez and a Rob Gronkowski and bring in, you know, trade for a Wes Welker? You know, you want to bring these guys in? Great. Brady will carry you. But almost like the last 2 years, it's almost like, nope. You know, offensively, we're going to run the football. We got a great quarterback. Don't make mistakes. But I'm going to carry you with this defense. And we're going to ask you to do less. So it's going to be more Bill. So I look at this team right now, going back to the Ben Volen thing, intrigue. What intrigues you on this team? Is it N'Keal Harry, what he looks like? How about that running back from Alabama, Harris?
Yeah.
Does he intrigue you?
Yes. That guy is a beast. At least that's what I've been hearing. And if you,
because I've heard great things of him in camp, you know, early on, OTAs.
And there's a reason. Are you unsure of that position? Because I would say Harris is a first and second down back. I feel like Sony Michel is a first and second down back. We know what James White is. That's not going to change.
Not Harris.
That is not Harris.
So Harris is not the James White replacement that we've seen. Like, groom a guy for a year or two, let James White leave, he takes over. No, this is more he and Sony Michel at the same time.
Yeah, see, I wonder who's going to be the odd man out in that situation. Because you also remember you have Brandon Bolden. Brandon Bolden coming back from Miami, back to the team.
He's
They gave him $2 million. They gave him a bunch of money. He's not going to get cut. So are you looking at him as a running back or purely a special teams player?
How much of that
Bolden
is insurance?
Can still run the rock.
But how much of that, after what happened last year, is we don't want to watch Cordarrelle Patterson type run the football?
Yeah.
So at least let one of our special teamers, who's valuable, also add his insurance.
Yeah, because
our running
Burkhead
back
got
to be the
hurt
fourth
last
guy,
year.
Fifth guy.
Burkhead got hurt. Michelle was missing. He was MIA. He was there. He was back. He was going back and forth a couple times. You ended up using Cordarrelle Patterson because you didn't have a short yardage back. James White was not your guy. So real quick, I just want to go back to that topic real quick. The example you use for who's more important, quarterback or coach, is Joe Gibbs and the Washington Redskins. Joe Gibbs, who won Super Bowls with Mark Rippon, who else? Doug Williams, Joe Theismann.
Hell!
That was a quarterback. So he won it with multiple quarterbacks, different quarterbacks every single time. So Joe Gibbs was obviously more important than any quarterback that could have played under him.
Well, I think the flip side might be Peyton Manning.
How so?
Well, I'm just saying, like, wherever he went. You know, he won.
True.
You give the credit to the coach, or you give the credit to Peyton Manning when the coaches came in and out? You know, who's the guy, Caldwell?
Yes.
You give him any credit at all?
No.
I just stood there with his mouth
no.
open.
No.
He never even said a word.
He got out of the
why
way.
Why even had a headset
never
on?
Changed.
Right? And why didn't he
so
had a
the
headset
debate,
on?
The answer, I mean, I see, I guess my point is you could take any side you want, and I feel like you could have an excuse to support yourself. Like, I use Joe Gibbs. I use George Seifert and Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and Steve Young. You throw Peyton Manning. I say, all right, well, all right, if you take,
I don't think you'll ever know the answer. There is no right. The right answer is you need them both, and they've been together for so long that there isn't this, you know, like you see, even in San Fran, it's like the quarterbacks change, the great quarterbacks change. It never changes, and I don't expect it to change. Bill might coach a couple years without Tom when it's all said and done. But I don't think it's fair to sit there and say, okay, if you end up having some, you know, young quarterback and you end up going 9-7, to sit there and say, see, yeah, it was all about Tom because Bill can't win without him. Because you get to start over with some young kid.
We've seen Bill win games without Brady. When he got hurt in 08, he had Matt Castle. Made that work. Look at all the players. Doesn't matter. He still had Matt Castle, who never played in college and barely played ever with the Patriots. He was a preseason quarterback. He didn't even get mop-up duty. You also saw Bill win without Tom when he got suspended. He was 3-1, only lost one game. So isn't that enough evidence that Bill is more important than Tom? If you really – listen, you're splitting hairs, but if you have to make a decision, you would lean a little bit to Bill, in my opinion, just based on the evidence. Brady's never won anything without Bill. Bill has won without Tom Brady. Two different occasions. So to me, that should be the tiebreaker.
All right, listen, I want to get into this because we didn't talk. You weren't in on Friday when the whole Tyreek Hill thing broke. But leading into that, this coming out of the NFL. So Seahawks defensive lineman Jaron Reed was suspended 6 games. Ian Rappaport reported that 6-game violation of the personal conduct policy for an incident from early 2017. He was not charged or arrested. Apparently they looked in. It had something to do with domestic violence. There really isn't anything out there at all on this guy and what happened back then. All we know is that back in 2017, now he's a second-round pick out of Bama in 2016, had a good year last year, and one of the reasons why I think the Seahawks moved on from Frank Clark because they thought this guy would kind of come in and hold the zone. 6 games for a personal conduct policy for something he was not charged or arrested for. This comes on the heels of the NFL announcing they will not suspend and do anything to Tyreek Hill. I want to get Christian's opinion on that and get your opinion on that as well. 617-779-7937. It's OMF. No Ordway. It's just the MFers. We'll hit that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Standout defensive tackle Jaron Reed, one of the more disruptive players up front, not just in the Seahawks, but in the NFL, is being suspended 6 games for a violation of the NFL's personal conduct policy. He had his appeal come back on Friday. It was denied. This was from an incident in 2017. It has been, of course, several years since this first came to light. It was written about locally, but really didn't gain much traction nationally, involving Jaron Reed and a woman near the Seahawks facility. He was not arrested. He was not charged. He was found culpable by the NFL, one of the best defensive linemen, certainly one of the best young defensive linemen in the NFL, off the field for the first 6 games of the 2019 season.
Unbelievable.
So Ian Rappaport, I believe, talking about what we mentioned going into the break. So Jaron Reed suspended 6 games. So Kristen, you just saw something. What exactly does it say happened back in 2017?
All right, so he's right. So it happened April 27th of 2017. It's over
27 months.
Yeah. So he's being suspended for an incident that occurred on April 27th, 2017, when Reed was investigated by the Bellevue Police Department when a woman filed a complaint of an assault at a house in Bellevue. Not his house, not her house. It just says a house. No, there's no description.
No other details.
No
what
other
happened?
Details about that. It just says at a house. Okay, fine. So Megan Black, public information officer for the Bellevue Police Department, confirmed on Monday that Reed was investigated in connection with the incident, which was initially reported by King 5, and that the case was referred to prosecutors for potential charges. Black said prosecutors then declined to pursue the case further. That was it. And the Seahawks in a statement said, "We are aware of the situation involving Reed and have followed the league and law enforcement protocol since the alleged incident in April 2017. So 2.5 years ago, an incident happened. Something happens. We have no information.
Prosecution didn't feel like they had enough.
They said, you know what?
To go to court.
Yeah,
or
it's
to press
not worth
charges.
It. Not going to press charges. Maybe they're not getting any, communication with the witness. Who the hell knows? But the fact is, this guy got 6 games.
6 games. For not being charged, never being arrested, 6 games for this. We don't even know if the incident really even happened, right? I mean, when it comes to Tyreek Hill, we don't know if he broke his son's arm. We don't know if Crystal Espinal, is that her name? I don't know if she broke her son's arm or if the kid fell over a toy and hit his arm and broke his arm accidentally. We don't know. All we know is that the kid broke an arm.
Yeah.
This one here, we don't know if anything even happened. So just the other day, Chris, you weren't here, but we were going off like a Mike Florio story saying how there's been a clear shift in how the NFL wants to handle these things. In that, you know, back in 2015 when they had that no more, you know, the thing that went out there, mm-hmm. no more this, no more that.
Yeah,
16,
lip service.
Yeah, everybody was getting suspended left and right. 2016, ratings were down. Well, that was because of the presidential election.
Yeah.
2017, ratings were down. Well, that was because we had a kneeling problem. You know, we had a Kaepernick issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had issues in our league. Then all of a sudden, ratings came back. People were scoring points left and right last year. Because Ezekiel Elliott got suspended 6 games after an NFL investigator went out to investigate the potential victim and found that she didn't believe her.
Lisa Friel.
Was incredible. Came back to the NFL and said, I don't think you should suspend Ezekiel Elliott at all. And they said, okay, thank you for your work. 6 games. Meanwhile, he just got trouble again in Vegas this past year for pushing that security guard down. They've dropped everything, right? No games whatsoever. Tyreek Hill, no games whatsoever. So coming off of when you just thought there was a shift in how they feel about domestic violence and how the product is more important because the ratings are showing it, this kid, Jaron Reed, gets 6 games for something that we have no clue what the hell happened 2 years ago.
So it's almost as if, listen, they're telling him, young player, no files were charged. We did our own investigation. We feel like you use bad judgment and you put yourself in a situation that you shouldn't be in. So we got to teach you a lesson. The NFL is not a Judge Dredd. Like, they're not judge, executioner, and jury. They're not all those things wrapped up into one. But because you play in the NFL, regardless of what happens or regardless of whose story you listen to, they can decide to take a bunch of money out of your pocket.
Take it away, Commissioner.
I don't think he should have been. I don't think this guy should have been suspended either. For what? What did he do? Was he at the wrong place at the wrong time? It says he was at a house. I don't know what the hell was going on. Maybe he witnessed it and he didn't do anything about it. Maybe he was actually the aggressor. I have no idea. But just to arbitrarily just start fining people, 2.5 years. It took him 2.5 years to do this? 2.5 years for them to finally decide, you know what? Now it's probably a good time to give him that 6-game suspension.
When you compare the two, we don't know. I mean, prosecution looked at it and said, you know what? We're not moving forward with this thing. There's nothing here. So I don't know. I have no clue.
I don't think Tyreek Hill should have been suspended either.
But maybe this guy did something and, you know, threw the girl, whatever, and she just threw the girl around the house. And she didn't want to sit there and testify. Maybe that could have happened. Maybe he did absolutely nothing. We've seen that before. And she just came forward just to ruin him. Just because he broke it off with her. We have no clue. We do know that when the Tyreek Hill case, where I think the authorities up there said a crime definitely was committed, they just couldn't prove it. They didn't know what the hell happened, or nobody was willing to cooperate with authorities. You missed on Friday when the NFL came out and said Tyreek Hill would not be suspended at all, and you agree with it.
Yeah. Do you?
Here's the thing, okay? I think it's just a matter of time, so I think he's going to get his. We talked about that tape, the one where he was secretly taped, and I did admit, I think that it is strange that he never admitted to breaking his arm. Like she said, you did it. Daddy did it. Daddy
she
did it.
She tried to bait him into like, admitting something that he didn't do.
And if he did and he was secretly in a conversation, on private conversation, wouldn't he admit it if he did? You know, he even went as far as going to 2014 and saying, I didn't do that either. I didn't do any of the things you said. So it was like, this guy's being secretly taped in private. You would think the truth comes out where he admits the incident, both of them maybe, and he didn't.
Yeah, she tried to get him on tape saying something.
I feel bad for the kid because the kid's got a broken arm. I just think it's a matter of time before he gets his and he will be suspended.
Well, I feel bad for the kid because of the parents that he had. He has two knuckleheads as parents. I think they're both whacked out of their mind personally. But the question that I have is, it looks like the Kansas City Chiefs are ready to double down and pay this guy. The Kansas City Chiefs are talking about making a substantial financial commitment to Tyreek Hill. And whether you think he should be suspended or not, that's one thing. If the Kansas City Chiefs actually pay this guy and commit to him long term, they're out of their mind. If this guy has shown you anything, it's that whatever happened in the past is not over. It's going to happen again. See, with his old girlfriend.
It might.
Okay, but a new one. A new one, because crazy attracts crazy.
Well, I would say this. I would say that, okay, she filed for custody of the twins. The twins are actually born in June. So now she's got three. Actually, the son is still with family services. So, you know, they're not together. They don't plan on getting married. You know, and I say it's just a matter of time. So, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, if he cuts her off financially, does she sit there and say, okay, you better start paying up? Because I'm gonna all of a sudden reopen this case. You know, if the money ain't coming in, then what good are you? You know what I mean? So
yeah, but
it could come out. It bothered me that nothing came of it. That a kid broke an arm, a 3-year-old kid broke his arm, and they couldn't get to the bottom of it.
But again, he wasn't charged. And even though they closed it, they reopened it once the tapes came out, they still never found anything. And this is different than Adrian Peterson. When Adrian Peterson actually was charged with something, there were marks on his back. They had the pictures to prove that there was some sort of abuse that was going on. To me, that was a different case. With this one, you don't have anything.
No, you don't.
You don't have anything. So, and you can, who the hell knows what happened? Maybe he is a little bit too rough with his son. Maybe he was trying to toughen him up. Whatever. It's not my kid. It's not my circus. And maybe he did accident. Maybe it was accidental. Maybe he was like, oh, trying to teach him a lesson like an idiot for a young kid who can't recognize the lesson trying to be taught anyways, but he did it anyways. So to me, this is part of the deal, and I'm not surprised that he was not fined. But it's weird when you have this situation where
the district attorney in the Tyreek Hill investigation, Steve Howe, he came out and said a crime was committed.
Okay,
but they can't prove. They don't know. They have no proof. No one's cooperating. They don't know.
And I would say that seems kind of careless to me.
I would kind of
a crime. Okay, a crime was committed. All right, how do you know? I mean, I'm not. How do you know a crime was committed? You don't have enough. You know something bad happened, but you don't know
Tyreek
how.
Tyreek Hill's history.
You have two people.
I'm just saying Tyreek Hill's history kind of sends me down that road, right? Because sure, like I said, the kid could have been playing with a toy, was running around the house, tripped and fell, and broke his arm.
But isn't it just, yeah, isn't it, it's just as likely.
But if that was the case, why wouldn't Tyreek Hill just come out and say, yeah, that's what happened?
Because I don't think it was, I think it was a little bit more dangerous than that. I think there was something that went on that wasn't just, hey, I tripped and I fell, because then his girlfriend wouldn't be trying to sabotage him and trap him and bait him into, proving his guilt. And he obviously didn't take the bait. But to me, this is just the NFL just being so inconsistent. Or maybe it's the fact that Goodell finally just kind of learned his lesson after Ezekiel Elliott, when he shouldn't have fined him and he shouldn't have suspended him. With Adrian Peterson being, that was the first time something like that had ever happened in the NFL. You have a kid, you have a player, one of your star players, physically beating one of his kids. And then you're supposed to dictate what type of punishment he should have based on something that he's doing in his own house?
Well, let me go to the call right now. I'm going to go to Sean in Connecticut, because this has come up a lot once Tyreek Hill was let off. But Sean, go ahead. You can bring it up.
Hey, Lou. Hi, Christian. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, well, you guys have obviously heard the audio of her taping him say, you should be terrified of me.
Yes.
That doesn't, like, throw up a giant red flag that this guy is a nut?
Yes.
That's without debate. And that is what a lot of people are looking at. Forget about the fact that you couldn't prove anything. What about the derogatory language? What about the aggressive tone that he was taking toward his girlfriend?
I think he said dumb bitch after that.
Yeah.
It's terrified. He is terrified of me.
You need to be terrified of me, too. Dumb bitch. That's why you can't keep the man.
See, that alone.
You want to suspend him for that? It's ugly.
Well, hold on.
You want to suspend him for that?
I think Jimmy Smith from the corner from the Ravens was. I think he got 4 games for verbal. I think it wasn't even physical. It's just threatening him verbally.
But he didn't threaten her.
You should be terrified of me?
He didn't say, I'm going to, if you don't act right, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. All he said was, you should be terrified. I feel like I'm downplaying it, because I just don't think it's as black and white as people would like it to be. I mean, we're sitting there trying to draw
it has everything
context
to do with who
about,
he is and what he's done.
I don't think he's a good person, period.
Right.
Okay? I'm not saying that he is, but...
See, to me, the NFL, letting off guys like Ezekiel Elliott, we're talking about the ratings and having, I think of that year, 37% of the games, they didn't have Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys, one of the biggest market teams. Now you've got this great young quarterback in Pat Mahomes. Kansas City Chiefs hopefully going to score 30, 35 points a game. The league would love that. They're going to be on Thursday night, or Sunday night, Monday night football. They don't want to take away the superstar. So to me, they're investing... on bad dudes. They're investing in guys that are going
to
burn them
the
down the road. But I'm just saying, Ezekiel Elliott and Tyreek Hill, they can't get out of their own way. So they're going to give them the benefit of the doubt?
Okay, so if...
How long before these two end up in again? 2 years?
I would say if somebody recorded you, and I'm not comparing you to Tyreek Hill, when you were less than happy, you were in just a... You were pissed off at something... And they could easily take that out of context.
Yes.
And not just towards your wife. I mean, just towards anything. They could turn it into whatever they want. And they could turn Lou Merlone into a bad dude if they wanted to.
Sure.
So if you're the thing is just, okay, can we just be consistent here?
Chad Finn does that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that do that with you. But can we just be consistent? But, yep, they can't be consistent, because when everyone yells and screams for consistency, they say every case is different. So how can you be consistent when every single case is different?
Can't be.
How could you? It's never going to happen. So you look at the case with Reed, the defense lineman out of Seattle, and you look at Tyreek Hill. When we all heard those things, said, "Oh, this guy's they're going to throw the book at him." He didn't get anything. He was culpable also. Look at this crap storm. Look at this personal relationship situation he got himself into, where this girl is recording everything he's doing. Trying to bait him and make not only him, but make the league look bad.
Florio said he'd stop following or covering the NFL.
If he didn't suspend him?
I think so. Well,
so what's he going to do?
Is he still covering the NFL?
He's got a big decision to make.
I think he's still there.
When was his last tweet? Did he even respond to this situation?
I don't even know.
You need to be terrified of me too, bitch.
No, he wrote that article about how it's business. And now there's a shift. And now somebody put numbers in front of Roger Goodell and they said, hey, stop suspending impact players in this league. Now, I don't know. Jaron Reed's a defensive player.
See, they're leading sack. Clark is gone, he's the guy.
Suspended defensive player.
10.5 sacks last year for Reed.
We need more points. Let's take the good defensive players off the field.
Yeah, nobody knows who Reed is, though.
No, nobody does. Ooh. All right. Can we do a little Sox when we come back?
I would love to, actually.
Can we dive into what just happened over the weekend? See, I thought the next 2 weeks is going to determine the fate of the Boston Red Sox. Never did I believe that the actual week leading into it would actually bury this season for this team. We'll do some Sox next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Robin Buster.
I think the whole season for the Red Sox comes down to these four series right here, because it's not just the American League East. They've got the A's to contend with, who are really good right now. They have the Indians, who have the best record in the league since June the 1st, and they have the Twins, who, even if they drop out of the division lead, are still a really good wild card team. And this is all about the wild card for the Red Sox, because they're not going to catch the Yankees.
What's the good news? What's the good news?
I mean, we sat here and said, okay, and I just, let me see what it looks like, you know, 9 games into this stretch, because that's the deadline before we start talking about traded guys and everything else. But 7 games with the Blue Jays and the Orioles. I mean, before it started, we said if they go 5-2, like, I feel like you cough the game up. Right? 5-2. Figure out, sweep somebody. I mean, the Orioles are just sitting there waiting for you to sweep their ass. And they took 2 out of 3 from you? And you go 4-3? I feel like we sit here all the time, Christian. I think you pointed out many times. It's like every Monday.
Same thing.
You sit here and you're like, how many times have I done this? If you take 3 games out of the loss column and add them to the win column. We talk about the bullpen and how there's been like 8 games blown. You know, maybe even 10 or 11 affected by a poor bullpen with no depth. And you said, okay, those 8 losses, put them in the win column. Where are you? But since the All-Star break, you're 5-5. You know as well as I do, they coughed up that last game to the Dodgers, right? They could have won in the 9th. They could have won the 10th. They could have won the 11th. They should have taken 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. And then you're telling me 4-3 against Toronto and Baltimore? I'll give you 5-2. Still, that's 2 games you've coughed up. That's a 7-3 stretch after the break. You're 5-5. You're now 3.5 games out. So, they might be over before you even play damn Rays and Yankees, to be honest with you.
You asked me earlier today, okay, so you sticking with the Red Sox make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I kind of paused because I feel like the what I say every Monday is same old Red Sox. I keep waiting for them to kind of win that game that they usually lose. That stupid mistake, maybe they overcome it or they avoid it altogether and they go on a nice little run and they gain some ground, especially when other teams are doing you favors. If Tampa's going to sit here, it looks like they could possibly self-destruct here at any moment.
You're 5 games in the loss column behind the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah. And I'm sticking with my, tell me what Cleveland's doing. Tell me what Oakland's doing. Mm-hmm. Tell me now what Tampa's doing. Tell me what Texas is doing.
Well, I'm saying you're playing Tampa. And they're not even a team. I mean, they're a game in front of you, or 2 games, 1 in the loss column. But it's not even about Tampa anymore. Now it's out of your control. Now it's about Oakland and Cleveland. There isn't you have no control whatsoever. You just lost 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. And who set the tone for you on Friday night?
Your guy.
Who went out there in Baltimore and said, hey, before we get into this tough stretch against Tampa and New York, we got to take care of business and beat the teams we're supposed to beat because we're the Red Sox. We just took 3 out of 4 from Toronto. I'm going to get us off on the right foot. I've had 12 appearances here at Camden Yards. I'm 8-0 with a 2.45 ERA. I've never lost a start in Baltimore. David freaking Price.
All right, let's do it.
How'd that go for him? How'd it go? Not too good.
I hate
four innings, eight hits, six earned runs, three-run bomb in the first. You just sat there, and you know what you did? You just sort of laughed at it. People kept using the phrase karma. You know, for me, it's baseball gods. They watched down. They said, you know what? Not tonight there, little.
Sorry.
You want to pop off all week long?
There needs to be an adjustment.
How do you not back up what the week you had and go out there and throw the ball well against a lineup that was waiting for you to dominate them? How does that happen?
You know that they need you more. The thing with me is, like, I don't want to take pleasure in somebody else's failure.
You know people did. But I did.
Because the farther you got into the weekend, the more you realize what a complete chump he is for the things that he said, and then the timing of his words. Like, that whole, what was it, on Wednesday? It was the last Wednesday, right? Because he had Thursday off, because we were over on Wednesday, right? Thursday?
I don't even know.
It doesn't matter. It was Wednesday, right? Because we were there. We were talking to Cora. And what a terrible, terrible timing. Terrible opportunity. You're going to use that. With everything going on, you're just going to just add on with the... Because that, to me, affects him more than he likes to admit.
If anybody ever...
Here's a guy that wants to be loved.
I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me.
I love X's comment as far as who David Price is to him now. He says that David Price is his new Kirk Gibson. Anywhere he went, everywhere he went... People ask him about Kirk Gibson. What's it like? Do you guys talk? Are you friends? Are you over? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's David Price. So when I heard that, I was like, whoa. So knowing how David Price is, would he use that comment that X said about, okay, he's my new Kirk Gibson, as a sign of disrespect? As a, hey, here's another reason why I should come out there and say something about him? Be pissed off about him? There's my excuse. Look, he's popping off again. It's never going to end with him.
If he wants to talk, I'll talk.
Nobody wants to talk to you.
He's my new Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Shaughnessy went up there to the Hall of Fame. Obviously got together with Eck. He said, he's my new Kirk Gibson. Everywhere I go, they're asking me about David Price, telling me what he said about me. For years, I carried the Gibson thing around. Everyone was dropping a Gibson on me. Now I got this. I don't get it. All right, so I don't know. Should I expect a counter from David Price now?
Yeah.
Apparently, Eck doesn't
Based
want to stop
history?
Talking about it.
Based on his history,
according to Price, this is Eck not wanting to stop talking about it, right? So, do I get something back from Price? Here's a little advice from Price: you should worry about your career, okay? Worry about your job. Worry about your team, okay? Who desperately needed you to go out there on Friday night? Friday night, Saturday, and Porcello. Jesus, 5-0 lead. He's had his last three starts. He coughs it all right back. And then you watch Cashner on Sunday. I go back to the phrase, okay, that I once had a few years ago. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, for you starters. Just suck a little, okay?
Oh, no.
Just suck a little. Price, Cashner, Porcello, suck. Just a little bit. And, I mean, I guess Porcello sucked just a little bit. I don't know. They put up 17 runs for him. Statistically, he is the worst pitcher in baseball. It's pretty damn close, if not the worst, right there. And it's not just the ERA, it's horrible. It's everything else. It's hard contact, it's exit velocity, you name it. This dude's the worst pitcher in baseball right now, and you paid him $21 million. It's his free agent year. Cashner. Cashner's out here. Go, Greg, thank God we got Cashner. His first two starts, you want to talk about cushy. He gets the Toronto Blue Jays, and he gets the Baltimore Orioles. And they just rip his boobs off.
Yeah.
Both starts.
You give him a break against Toronto because we'll call it nerves.
Do you even have him after the game?
Oh, talking about the playing conditions.
Oh, my God. This was just like, dude, somebody should have grabbed you before you opened your mouth.
Is there anything strange about pitching against your former team here back here?
That was really hot. Other than that, no. I mean, it was, it's fun. You know, you battle with those guys all year, so it was fun facing them. I just wish I could have done it under maybe a night game.
I don't know, tongue-in-cheek, I don't know, give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know, I don't even know the other kid's name, Adrian Wojnarowski, all right, is that the guy that pitched against you the other day on Sunday? He pitched next time, I'm pretty sure he pitched in the same heat.
30-year-old.
I don't think they turned the AC on when he took the mound, but you go back to Price, and it is, you could say what you want, and I know there's a couple of Price defenders out there, even you got to admit, it's a bad look.
See, this is just funny to me because
four innings, eight hits, six runs.
You have Asher Wascherhashki, right? He pitches Sunday. 30-year-old guy on his seventh team with a seventh organization. He came into the game with an 8.09 earned run average and 14 career starts in the majors. How many times were they chasing at pitches and just swinging it randomly to the point where this guy almost throws a shutout? If he gets a standing ovation, and you can't figure this guy out, I get it. First, second, third inning, fine, okay. But you're the Red Sox, and all I hear from Cora all the time is how, hey, you know what? We'll worry about the bullpen, but one thing is, we can hit, we can get runs. They got 17 on Saturday, but they get shut out on Friday against this guy. To me, that's...
Well, they had that theme, too, right? Going to Tampa, like the beach theme. Guys showing up in, like, beach attire. You know, you hear about these things, right? Madden used to do them all the time. Flip-flops, bathing suit, whatever, T-shirts.
Hey, changed the vibe, man. Let's relax.
It was going to be so hot that they just wanted there, like, 2 hours before the game. They should have just went to the beach. That's what they looked on Sunday. I mean, they wanted nothing to do with that ball game. They just gave that one in. Nothing. I give the kid credit. He threw a good game, but, I mean, it just... Go by what your eyes tell you. They're just, you watch it and you're like, that's a bad look from Price. Porcello can't get out of his own way. They had to score 17 for him to win. And then the team doesn't even show up on Sunday in a desperate game before you're about to start a desperate stretch.
So do you still think
they're going to make the postseason?
So I was just going to ask you, am I just optimistic?
Yes.
Overly optimistic?
Overly.
Because I still feel that if they don't, first of all, what a colossal disappointment it would be. And I still feel like they're still more talented than Cleveland, Oakland, Texas. Do they have some issues? Sure they do. But everyone does. But I feel like they have less than the other team. When you look at the amount of runs that they score, if you look at the stats just as far as who's playing well, the amount of runs, what they're hitting, batting average, everything else that goes into it, they should have a better record. They should not be losing these games. Yet here we are. Here they are losing 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. Yeah, it was hot. I get it. Sorry, it's the end of July. It's going to be hot. You should figure it out. And they're playing in it also. To me, there's just I keep thinking of Bill Parcells and that whole quote about they are what their record says they are.
Yeah,
that is what they are. But I keep hoping and treating them like the Celtics, like they're going to find some switch and they're just going to flip it on. And Cashner's going to finally pitch better or just average. Price is going to be consistent. Evaldi's going to have an impact. Sale is going to continue playing well. Rodriguez, Porcello, just give him run support, and he'll get you the win. He got the win the other day. He got the win on Saturday.
Yeah. I thought he Someone's found something in his that last outing and after the third. Remember that one? He found something. Yeah. I don't know, man. You're like 22 starts. Can you find something
like,
in the first?
I feel like
can
he's
you keep
start,
finding
he's
it? Can you keep locating it in the second, third, fourth, fifth? Can you just find it for a game?
He's becoming Clay Buchholz to me.
No,
he's becoing a guy where like, I think he found out. I'll be patient with him.
So you talk about the offense. It's the pitching. I mean, right now they're starting rotation 7th in the American League with a 4.79 ERA. They got over $88 million invested in this rotation. 4.79. That's their rotation. That's their ERA. And I mean, it's clearly a top six. The Yankees are actually 6th. They got a 4.19. You know, Cleveland 4.15 in front of them. Oakland 4.04. Houston 3.9. So you go from sixth place, the Yankees at 4.19. The Red Sox are 4.79. Like, basically, you have six good starting rotations. Everybody else sucks. Whether you are 7th or 15th, you're just not good. Their rotation's not good. Their bullpen's still weak. And I don't know what the hell you're waiting to get in Evaldi. And I was shocked to see him not come in on Saturday. Give me one inning. One inning to be ready to go on Monday. Give him a day off. Now his first outing's going to be against Tampa? To what, to hold a two-run lead?
It's humid.
In the eighth, seventh?
It's really humid. You can cut the air with a knife.
By the way, two former Cy Young winners make up 2/5 of the starting rotation.
$88 million.
You would never believe
for
that.
A 4.79 ERA. You know, Boston Imps, like, I know they got issues, bullpen, but it's the rotation's the problem. It's everything. It's anybody that grabs a baseball, holds it with two fingers, and actually stands and throws it towards a catcher. That's your issue. That's a problem. The best you got right now recently is Erod. He's going tonight. So, and Workman.
Well, he's a run support, too, guy.
And the only reason why Erod is great, he threw great his last two, is because they give him 9.
Yeah.
Every single time he goes
up. So let's do this, because I know we were doing this earlier, because you're starting to change my mind, but I want to hold on to the fact that they're going to make it to the playoffs, despite all their issues. But they're doing, I think the Red Sox are doing what we're doing, is they're looking at the schedule. They're looking at Cleveland's schedule. They're looking at Oakland's schedule. They're looking at Texas's schedule. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do? And what do we need those other teams to do in order for us to kind of maybe get through this next 14
games? We'll take
a
look at it and take your calls.
You're looking at the box score.
On the Red Sox. Are they done? Is that it? Buyers? Sellers? Buyers. Forget about buyers. Sellers? All right, we'll take a look at some of the other teams around there, where they are right now. Did they already blow it even before this stretch starts? 617-779-7937. We continue to talk Sox right after this.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.